I'm ready to roll here today. I'm ready to preach. I don't know, man. Just with when stuff gets crazy around me, and then, you know, I respond by pressing into God, I just get a little crazy too. I just get a little excited because I really do feel as though this is like a time when we're going to see the move of God happen like big time in our nation, in our world today. I just feel it. I just know it. I mean, things are shaking, and that's not a bad thing. I'm not praying for things to stop shaking in my world today around us. I'm praying for the kingdom of God to come. And you know what? When the kingdom of God comes, there's some shaking. We just talked about the upper room, right? The Holy Spirit came and baptized. There was some shaking, man. There was some blowing. There was some, it was fireworks going on. It was dramatic. So that's kind of where I am right now. So when you hear me preaching these days and I just get excited and I'm like always, whoa, it's just, I'm anticipating big things. God is on the move right now. All right. Judges. We're journeying through the book of Judges. We're going to encounter our next unlikely hero. Drum roll. I'm crazy today, Bill. Look out. Drum roll. It's Samson. Come on now. Samson. Y'all know Samson, right? You learned about him when you were a kid, right? Strong Samson. Long hair, hippie Samson. We're going to be talking about Samson. We're going to spend 2 weeks in the life of Samson. So if I don't cover something that you think I should have covered, just wait till next week. And if I don't cover it next week, then just read your Bible and enjoy what the Word of God has to say about Samson, all right? Because I believe the Lord has some messages specifically for us for such a time as this from the life of Samson. As we're launching into the message, though, I got a quote from A.W. Tozer. He said this. He said, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. That'll hit you, right? Boom. Here, I got a mic right here. I could just drop it, right? Samson's life reveals to us the secret of spiritual strength. And that's the title of today's message, The Secret of Spiritual Strength. Turn with me to Judges. We are in chapter 13, beginning of verse 1, Judges 13, verse 1. We're going to see a common phrase that unfortunately we continue to read in the book of Judges, and that is this, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. I'm just saying, it's no joke to do evil in the sight of the Lord. It's no joke, and it's still no joke today. Oh, but we're under the new covenant. It's still no joke today to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. So, 40 years in the hands of the Philistines, a certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you are barren and childless, but you're going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Let's jump down to verse 24. It says that the woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. Now, don't jump over that. The Spirit of the Lord began to stir this young man while he was in Mahane Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. There is strength through consecration. Strength through consecration. Samson was one of only two men in the Old Testament whose birthday was foretold by the angel of the Lord. The other one was Isaac. And the angel of the Lord came and said, hey, this guy's being born and it's for a reason. And you need to know that even ahead of time. That's special. So with all the messed up things going on in this guy's life, let's remember this. This guy's special. God has a plan for him. So Samson was consecrated to the service of the Lord. He was a Nazarite. And this consecration was made evident because he didn't cut his hair. That was the external evidence of his consecration to the Lord, his uncut hair. And because of this consecration, the Lord gave Samson some uncommon strength. I mean, the dude was strong. He was strong. We're going to read a little bit of the examples of that. This guy was no joke, off the charts, strong, like strongman, right? Consequently, the Lord used him as an instrument in his hands to deliver his people, to glorify himself. Charles Spurgeon says this. He says, the strongest man in all the world is a consecrated man. I'll say that again. This is one of those, again, hit you between the eyes. This is truth, and we gotta understand this. The strongest man in all the world is a consecrated man. Not a rich man. Not an old man. Not a young man. But a consecrated man is the strongest man in all the world. Samson, this consecrated man from birth, was strong. Here are the examples I want to show you about how strong this dude was. First of all, it says this in Judges 14:6. So the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. I don't know what it's like to tear a young goat. You should probably say, good, I'm glad, Pastor. I don't know what it's like. But tearing a lion apart with your hands, has anybody here in the room done that? Has anybody here done that? If you have, I want to hang out with you, you know, especially when things are getting rough around. You know what I'm saying? But this dude was strong. He tore a lion apart with his hands. He didn't shoot the lion first, you know. I mean, he just tore him apart. This dude was strong. It says in Judges 14, verse 19, then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to this place called Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men. Took out 30 dudes, 30 guys, like that. Ashkelon, by the way, I've been there. You know what's so neat? Is that this Bible isn't just like fairy tales, a bunch of stories about some fairyland places that don't exist, about people that never really existed, just characters in a story. No, this is what's so cool. These are real places. These are real people. Velva and I have been to Ashkelon. It's right on the border of the Gaza Strip. We were there, we were ministering to some Russian immigrants. The day after we ministered to them, rockets came from Gaza into the very neighborhood that we were ministering in. That's just how they live over there. But my point is this, is Ashkelon, it's a real place. Samson, a real man. These aren't just fictitious stories. This is how God moves. He can make a man this strong. It's awesome. It's awesome. I love the Word of God. And so then I want to look at Judges 15. One more example of just the strength of this man. As Samson approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting. And so the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson. The ropes, see, they bound him with ropes. Thought they were going to finally take this guy down, right? The ropes came off of his arms. They dropped from his hands. And then finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it, and he struck down 1,000 men. This dude was strong. The strongest man in all the world is a consecrated man. A consecrated man. I want to point one more thing out. I'm going to have you go back to those other verses. Let's start with that first one that's 14, verse 6. What does it say at the top there? Because I don't want us to miss this. I don't want us to miss this. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. And he did this amazing, strong, powerful thing. Next passage. What does it say? The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to Ashkelon, took out 30 men. Next one. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon this consecrated man. When the Spirit of the Lord comes powerfully upon us, because we're consecrated, set apart for him, I mean, it's powerful. God does big and amazing things through those that are consecrated unto him. Again, the strongest man in all the world is a consecrated man. Is there anything in the world that a consecrated man or woman can't do or can't endure? Anything. Come on. You attempt to consecrate a man. You offer him gold and silver. You take him to a mountaintop. You say, look out. Everything that you see there, it's yours if you just bow down to the gods of this world. And how does a consecrated man respond to that? Get behind me, Satan. I know who I am, and I know what my mission is, and it's way bigger than anything you're offering. That's the response of a consecrated man or woman. The consecrated don't bow to the threat of godless leaders. In the book of Daniel, we run into Daniel, but we also got these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And so these three guys, they were consecrated to the Lord. I mean, in every way. You even look at their diet. So they're told, hey, you've got to bow down to this idol, this golden idol, to the king. You have to do that. Oh, but you don't understand. We're consecrated unto the Lord. It doesn't matter. You got to do this. And if you don't do this, you're going to go into the fiery furnace. I'm going to threaten you. We're going to hurt you if you don't bow. So what did these three consecrated men do? They said, hey, king, we're sorry. We can't do this. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. But even if he doesn't, even if we get thrown in the fire and he doesn't deliver us, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. This is how the consecrated respond to pressure from the godless. You know, a consecrated Christian, a consecrated follower of Christ today, is not going to bow his knee and come alongside and quote unquote get in bed with ideologies that come from human, from even antichrist places. And let me just get real right now, because there are a lot of movements going on in the world today, and a lot of Christians are feeling pressure to get on board with different social justice movements that are not coming from the heart of God, but are coming from human ideologies. And the result of any human ideology is going to be pain, death, and hurt. That's just how it's always been. There's only one way to peace. There's only one way to justice. There's only one way to healing, and that's through Christ Jesus. And every other way is antichrist. And you can't blend a little Jesus and a little social justice movement out here that's coming from just twisted ideologies. You can't bring the two together and marry them together. Not the consecrated. The consecrated give the Lord what he is due, no matter the consequences. Let's look at Daniel. Daniel was told, hey, look, we know you're consecrated, we know who you are and all this, but King just made a rule, and that is you can't practice your religion like you used to. You can't do it the way you feel called to do it. You can't worship the Lord the way the Lord has called you to worship him. You can't pray in his situation. And Daniel's like, dude, I'm consecrated to the Lord. I have to pray. I have to get in his presence. I have to give him what is due. He is God, there is no other. I can't just walk away from this. I'm consecrated to the Lord. And so three times a day, what did he still do? He got on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he'd done before. What happened? He was thrown to the lions. That was no joke. But of course, God showed up powerfully in and through this consecrated man. He delivered him from the lions, the ones who got him all twisted and tried to get him in the lions. And they're the ones who ended up getting chewed up by the lions, not Daniel. You know, I see a church in America, believe it or not, that we are actually, I never thought I'd be preaching this, ever. especially not right now. But we are actually being treated like Daniel in our culture today, by leaders in our culture today. Okay, maybe not in Arizona where we are right now. Hey, man, we're free to come together, no problem. Our governor says, hey, First Amendment rights. You can do whatever you want to. You're a church. But over in California, our brothers and sisters are being told, you can't gather. Still, it's crazy. It's insane. It doesn't make any sense because it's not coming from the heart of God. It's coming from the same place that this came upon Daniel. Check this out. We have pastors in California that are being fined and they're being told they're going to be put in jail because they're continuing to meet as a church. Sounds a lot like Daniel. You can't pray to your God anymore. You can't do the things that you were doing as a consecrated man or woman any longer. Or we're going to throw you in jail, or we're going to throw you in the lion's den. It's crazy. It's happening right now. There's a church. There's a Romanian church made up of Romanian immigrants. A church of Romanian immigrants in the wonderful city, safest city in the world, Chicago. That was a joke. Okay? There's this Romanian church in Chicago. They were told by this mayor that is filled with an antichrist, just evil spirit, I'm telling you right now. Because here's what this mayor is doing to this church of Romanian immigrants, saying, you can't meet. I told you, I'm the mayor, my word goes, you can't meet. So they met anyway. She brings the police. They block the entrance to their church. So what do? They drop people off. They walk right in. They drive and they park somewhere else. They had to park 10 blocks away because the mayor also was towing any car within 9 blocks of the church. It got this far. You can't meet as a church anymore. And I'm going to show you how serious I am. This mayor is going to the courts to get some kind of injunction that allows the city of Chicago to take ownership of the property with the possibility and legal ability to demolish, bulldoze the building in America today. I'm just saying, it's here. The consecrated believers, we worship the Lord anyway, no matter what comes. We give to God what is His. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But man, when Caesar starts stepping on the feet of Jesus, we say, no, 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 no. You don't understand, we're consecrated unto Christ. You've walked over the line. And we can't go there with you because we're consecrated to Him. Let me jump to the New Testament, give an example from the New Testament. So you got the believers, and they're preaching the gospel. We just talked about earlier in the ministry time of Acts in the upper room, and they're preaching the gospel, and people are getting saved. Well, you know what? The rulers of the time, the spiritual and the cultural civil leaders, they didn't like that. They didn't like all the stir that was happening around this man named Jesus and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. And so they put in jail and brought before them and screamed at them and yelled at them and threatened, you know, the apostles for teaching. And said, man, we're going to throw you in jail. It's going to be bad for you if you keep doing this. But these consecrated men, how did they respond? Did they say, okay, we didn't understand. We'll go back into the four walls of the church. We'll calm it down. We'll make sure that we just fit in and everything's okay and y'all are happy with us. No, this is their response. They said, we must obey God rather than human beings. That's in Acts 5. And then in Acts 4, it records them as saying it another time because this happened multiple times. It says, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to Him? You be the judges. And these believers, because they listened to the Lord, even when it was painful, even when it wasn't popular, they changed the world. They all lost their lives eventually. Most of them did, right? These apostles. The one who didn't was boiled and all this other kind of stuff, put on an island called Patmos. I mean, but these consecrated men were used by the Lord to change the world. Powerful. I love the passage of Scripture in 2 Chronicles 16:9, where it says, I'm just going to paraphrase it. I'm going to say it my way. God is looking all around. I mean, he's looking all over this earth for consecrated men and women, for people who are fully given to him. And when he finds those people, he just doesn't give them a thumbs up. He shows himself strong in them. And that's what we see in the life of Samson. That's what we see in the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's what we see in the life of Daniel. That's what we see in the life of the apostles of the early church. The other followers of Jesus, men and women, fully consecrated to the Lord. And God showing himself strong in them and through them. That's how the kingdom of God works. Strength through consecration. Strength through consecration. I have another Charles Spurgeon quote. And I love Spurgeon because he kind of just says it. You know what I'm saying? Another one of those mic drop kind of moments. He just kind of says it. And so I kind of say it sometimes too, but check this out. Spurgeon says this. He says, the littleness of Christians, not the littlest. He says, the littleness of Christians of this age results from the littleness of their consecration to Christ. Wondering, man, why aren't I seeing God move in power in my life? Check your consecration to him. Who are you living for? Who are you surrendered to? A guy named Wilbur Chapman. He was in London. He's an American, and he was over in London, and he had the opportunity to meet William Booth. Now, William Booth, check him out. I'm thinking about going all out here. Let's put his picture up here. William Booth, what do you think? Grow this thing out here that I kind of started all the way? I mean, he went all the way with that beard, didn't he? Anyway, I'd be that old if mine never got that long, too. I'm just telling you, my hair doesn't grow that fast. But William Booth, he was the founder of the Salvation Army. This guy named Chapman went over there because he wanted to spend some time with him and find out what makes this amazing minister tick. And so Chapman listened reverently as this General Booth spoke of the trials and the difficulties, the conflicts and the victories of ministry. Then the American evangelist asked Booth, and he asked him if he would disclose a secret for his success. Why have you been so successful in ministry? Why have you seen so many come to Christ? What's going on here? He hesitated a second. Dr. Chapman said, and then he said that he saw tears in Booth's eyes when Booth made this statement. He said, I will tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities, but from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and I got a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth there was. And if there's anything of power in the Salvation Army today, he said, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart. He has all the power of my will and all the influence of my life. Dr. Chapman walked away from that time with William Booth with this understanding that the greatness of a man's power is in the measure of his surrender. Strength through consecration. Let's jump down to point number two today. And that is, what's the secret behind the strength? We have strength through consecration, but what's the secret behind that strength? What makes a consecrated man strong? I mean, we know that in our own strength, in our own selves apart from God, man, we don't have any kind of power, any kind of strength. We can't move a mountain all alone. We can't lay hands on the sick and see them made well. We can't change the world. We just don't have it in and of ourselves. Samson without God, he was a weakling. He was just a long-haired hippie freak without the Lord. He was even kind of a fool when you read his story. The secret of Samson's strength, though, was his uncut hair, and his uncut hair was the evidence, the symbol of his consecration. So while Samson's hair was untouched, the Lord would show himself strong in and through him. But if he would allow his hair to be cut off, meaning allow himself to no longer be consecrated unto the Lord, that would evaporate. The hand of God removed from his life. And we saw that in his life. So, what makes a consecrated man strong? What is the secret behind the strength? It's a three-letter word. It's a three-letter name. It's God. It's with a capital G. A big old capital G. The strength behind consecration is God. What makes a consecrated man or woman strong is God. It's like Pastor Gary Kinnaman would preach, Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing is what makes the consecrated man or woman strong. And then he would conclude that statement with, and that changes everything. When we become consecrated unto the Lord, that changes everything. Look out, world. Here comes a consecrated woman. Look out, world. Here comes a consecrated man. God makes the consecrated strong. And so, like Samson, we can choose to live a consecrated life. But rest assured, you don't have to grow your hair out long for consecration to kind of stick, for it to take place in your life. The path we take to consecration is repentance. Not growing our hair out. Our path to a consecrated life is repentance. It's letting go of our flesh. It's letting go of the way we used to think, the way we used to act, the way we used to do life, the old motivations, and it's being firmly 100% established with a new mind in Christ Jesus. A new passion, a new direction, a new action, a new way of life. Repentance is our path to consecration. You could also say it this way, obedience is the evidence of consecration in the life of a believer. Like the way the Apostle James said it. I'm going to paraphrase it. I think I can take this liberty, right? Okay, anyway, I think I take this liberty. James said, hey, you say you're consecrated to the Lord? You say you have faith? You're consecrated to God? That you're walking with the Lord? I'll show you my consecration to the Lord by what I do. By how I live, by my obedience. Obedience is the evidence that we truly are consecrated unto God. I hope you love that word, obedience. It's a good word. It's not a four-letter word, it's a good word. Obey is a four-letter word, though, but I'm just saying, that's another thing. Obedience is the evidence of consecration in the life of a believer. Zechariah 4, verse 6 says, it's not by might nor power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Consecration to the Lord takes our lives to a whole nother level. But again, not because of our strength or our might, but by the Spirit of the living God moving in and through us. It's a consecrated life with the Spirit of God moving in us that lifts us on wings as eagles, not evil. It's that consecrated life and the Spirit of the living God moving through us that empowers us to do the things that Jesus did and even greater things. That's promised to those who are consecrated. Not to those who just call themselves something or raise their hands, but to his followers, to those who are consecrated in him, Jesus said, you're going to do the things I did and even greater things, because the power of the living God moves through the consecrated, because the strength of consecration comes straight from the Lord. Not by might nor power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So I brought a glove up here. It is one of my work gloves. I got my Bible all dirty because I had a bunch of dust on it and everything. And I brought it up here just as an illustration. This glove in and of itself can't do anything. It just kind of flops around. I mean, I can tell you, like, lift the table. It doesn't do it, right? You know, open up the Bible. It doesn't do it. It can't do anything. Lift up the microphone. It can't do it. The glove by itself is powerless. But what happens when I put my hand in it? I know y'all are thinking O.J. Simpson right now. Can he get the glove on? I can get it on. Sorry about that. What happens when I put my hand in this glove? All of a sudden, this glove is empowered. All of a sudden, this glove came to life. All of a sudden, this glove can open, can lift, can move, can push. We're like the glove, church. Alone, we're powerless. We don't have any kind of spiritual strength in and of ourselves. It's because we said a prayer or call ourselves something else. No. But when God, when we allow him to come in and to fill us, all of a sudden we become a powerful tool in his hands. All of a sudden we come truly to life and look out world because things are about ready to change. They're about ready to change. I think of it this way. Are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit to blow in us, to fill us? I want to say this also about our lives too. We're not consecrated if we only let God in this much. That's not a consecrated life. That's not. If we allow him to fill every single finger except for the pinky finger, that's not consecration. That's still holding on to the flesh, holding on to our own control. When we are consecrated and fully filled with God, that's when it's powerful. That's where the power comes from. In Acts chapter 2, look at a guy, Peter. Peter was filled with power, with strength. I mean, just look at Peter in the New Testament. Just look at his ministry. I mean, fiery, full of power, world changer. But he received this power after being filled by the Holy Spirit. We talked about the upper room earlier, about that upper room posture. He was in the upper room. He was filled. He was just this glove sitting up there, posturing himself for what? To be filled. And when the Holy Spirit came in power and filled Peter with power, he walked out of that room preaching the gospel, and people were getting saved. The world was being changed. No longer fearful of man. Lord gave me this little saying when I was kind of talking through this earlier this week in my office. It's like Peter went, you know, Peter denied Jesus 3 times, right? Y'all know that, right? 3 times. And so it's kind of like Peter went from I deny, I deny, I deny, and then the Spirit of the living God filled his life, and instead of I deny, I deny, I deny, he was saying Adonai, 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 for the whole world to hear. And the kingdom of God advanced. That's exciting. And you know what? It's not just for Peter. It's for any of us who would consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. He has missions. He has purposes. He has plans. He has his kingdom to move in us and through us. The different giftings, the different callings that he has for the body of Christ. Jesus deserves a consecrated church. And the world needs a consecrated church. World's messed up. World needs a strong church filled with God. I like this. Go home and do some projects later. The world needs a church that's like filled with God and ready to bring some change, ready to do some renovation, ready to tear some things down that need to be torn down, ready to build some things up that need to be built up. This world is desperate for a consecrated church to rise up. And I believe it is such a time as this for the church to be that consecrated church, to be filled with God, and to bring his kingdom. Again, I said it earlier, man, I'm not opposed to things getting crazy around us. I'm not opposed to the shaking. I think it is for such a time as this for the church to be consecrated, the consecrated ones to be used by God powerfully. We see it throughout church history. Again, the eyes of the Lord are just looking for a church like that. He's going to show himself strong. So spiritual strength comes through consecration. I got four more points this morning. I'm just kidding. You can all rest. You're going to make lunch. We'll just do two this morning. And we'll pick up the rest next week. I want to be that consecrated church. I believe we are. I feel so blessed to run with y'all that love Jesus, that are running after him, that are praying, that are fasting, that have set your lives apart for his glory and not your own. I see so much of that in this church family. It's humbling, it's a blessing, and it is powerful. We went on a pastor's retreat last week. When we were on that pastor's retreat, we were just seeking the Lord about revival in our land. Man, we so badly want to see revival in our land. And the Lord very clearly spoke to us, all four of us, and said, revival starts in the church. Revival starts with consecration, just like in the upper room. And then it explodes out into the city, into the nation, to the ends of the earth. And so I believe we're going to see revival in our land, in our time. I believe we're going to even see some revival in our land before the end of this year. So I think things are set up for that. But we need to be consecrated. What do we need to be doing today? Consecrated prayer, fasting together. Prayer and fasting and repentance and seeking God and posturing ourselves for him to fully fill us and for us to be used by him. It says in Joel chapter 2, verse 12, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Return to me. I want to ask you to stand up. We're going to close. I think I'm just going to close, Pastor Tim. Okay. Interrupt me if I forget. Thank you. Want us to, if you're comfortable doing this, raise your hands to the Lord. And I'm asking us to raise our hands because raising our hands, it's a posture. Once again, it's a posture of repentance. It's a posture of dependence on God. It's a posture of surrender before the Lord. Consecration demands surrender. Just asking the Lord, even now. He had a prayer for us in the last service, and I don't remember it because he just gave it to us. And so I'm just going to ask, Lord, would you just lead us right now in a prayer? God, would you lead us to speak out the words that you want us to speak out, the truth that you want us to come into agreement with right now as a gathering of the saints? Holy Spirit, come. Just lead us even right now. I just want to ask you, if you would, just pray with me by praying after me. Just say, God, here I am. I am yours, and you are mine. I am nothing apart from you. And so today, I repent of living for myself. And I determine today to move forward in consecration to you. I surrender to you, God. Fill me, Lord. In fact, Holy Spirit, baptize me afresh. Baptize me today, Holy Spirit. Blow into my life. Fill me, God. Use me, Lord, for your glory. Remove fear. Fill me with courage. You are God, and there is no other. and you are worthy of my consecration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.